Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, that number to call is 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Call early so we can get as many questions in on this edition of Basic Gospel as we possibly can. Richard Piper is here. We would love to hear from you. You know, we've talked a lot about the hurt and the healer and where is God when we hurt and how can we truly find the answers that we're looking for during those times. And when you really get down to it, it's the grace of God that we really need, isn't
it? Yes.
I mean, if we're searching for something, it's the grace of God that we're searching for. We don't know that. We don't connect those dots, but that's really what we need. That's where we're going to find healing for our souls. And this grace of God is experienced in a new covenant, not the old covenant, but in the new covenant. That gives a lot of significance to Jesus' words during that Last Supper when he raised the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So when Jesus died, not only did he die to forgive our sins, but he died to usher in a new covenant. It truly is a place of change. Mm-hmm. We go from law to grace. We go from death to life. We go from the old covenant to the new covenant. And it's in this new covenant that we find the grace that heals our souls, the grace that forgave our sins, the grace that set us free from the law of sin and death, the grace that gave us a brand new identity. Are you struggling in life? Maybe it's because you're still over in that old and you need to let go of that and get over in the new. Well, if that's the case, we certainly want to talk about it on today's broadcast. If you have a question, a problem situation that you would like to discuss, we would love to hear from you right now on the Basic Gospel broadcast. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we've got an email question here that goes exactly along with what you're talking about. This woman writes that a neighbor and fellow brother, as far as I know, who has gone to our church, lost his wife a year and a half ago. The past 6 months or so, he rekindled a relationship with an old girlfriend and has now moved her and her children in with him. We also do a Bible study together, and we told them that we didn't agree with their decision and why. Now the church elders have found out and asked him to step down from ushering, also not to attend until they marry or move out from each other. They used 1 Corinthians 5 as their reasoning. I'm torn with the church's decision, but maybe it's for their good. Do we continue with them in Bible study? I think yes, but would greatly appreciate your perspective. And here's this old covenant, new covenant thinking wrapped up in a behavioral question. It's an honest-to-goodness situation. How do you deal with it under the new covenant with grace?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, yeah. And there is a way to do that. And I don't think it's pushing someone away. I think it's in drawing them near. I mean, that's what this new covenant has enabled us to do, and that is to draw near to God, mm-hmm. to enter into God's presence, enter into the throne of grace, and experience mercy in our time of need. So we need to embrace a person like that. We certainly don't condone what they're going through or what they're doing, the behavior side of it, but there's reasons. There's a root to what's happening, and we want them to be involved in a group of people that can help him get to the root and see what's really going on inside of him. You know, we make these decisions and out here, and we want to try to control those sins and those behaviors, but we do so externally without yes. getting down to the very heart of the problem. And I think in a safe environment, a Bible study in a home type of setting, where people will accept, not condone. There's a difference there.
Yes.
We like to equate accepting and condoning as equal, but that's not the case. We can accept just as God has accepted us. We can extend that. And in that, we can help that person get to the very root of what's going on. And I think that's how we handle something. I think if somebody's in a leadership position in a church or in some type of ministry in that particular situation, I think the leadership says, you know, hey, let's step aside for a period of time. Let's be able to engage one with another and find out what's really going on. Let us help you through this process. And then when God wants to restore that person back to ministry, we'll let God do that in his in his timing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a wonderful question, and it certainly does point to this question, are we under the old or in the new? If we're under the old, what the Bible would say is we're lost.
Yes. They should be stoned.
That's right. But if we're in Christ, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. The old has fulfilled its purpose in our lives. The old has identified us as lost and in need of a Savior. And when we turn to Christ for salvation, the law gives way to Jesus so that Jesus can do his work in our lives. First, in taking us from death to life, but then starting to renew our minds and to expand this life that he's given to us through every aspect of our being. So that's good news. The only thing, the only place that can happen is in this new covenant.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Mark in San Jose, California, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Mark.
Hi. You know, I had an incident about an hour ago. I was driving down Lee in Hamilton, and I saw this sign up with this rainbow flag at the United Methodist Church, and it said, God is still speaking. And then another sign said, we do, I do's. So I went into the church, and I said, you know, I'm a real Christian, and I'm offended, you know, that you marry lesbians and gays. And, you know, in the book of Numbers, you know, I mentioned about Phinehas, you know, how he turned God's wrath away when he actually went into the tent while they were in the act. You know, this was not same sex, of course. It was two fornicators. But, and he stabbed them to death, and God commended them for that. Now, I know we can't do that in the New Testament. You know, things have changed and all, but what is the application today, knowing that the, you know, all things, you know, those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning?
Well, Mark, that's a good question, and I think the law, when we look at the law and we really see the spirit of the law, it's there to judge each and every one of us, and we all of us stand condemned at its feet. There's no other language that the law speaks other than the language of judging and condemnation, and it sends out a punishment of death. And we need to know that, otherwise we're not going to turn to Christ for salvation. So those of us who have come through that, who have seen the severity and the harshness of the law, and have recognized our need for Christ and have come to him by faith and realize it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, then we can extend that same grace to others. God didn't come to live in us so that we could point a finger of judgment at other people. We certainly don't want to call sin anything other than sin, but we recognize that anybody that has never come to Christ by faith is in bondage, they're dead spiritually, and they need life. And so we try to get to the very core of the issue and to bring that life to them. So the issue isn't the sins that they're doing, it's the fact that they're living in unbelief. They're living in rebellion toward God. And that can change through this good news, through this love and grace and mercy of God that's been extended to us in the person of Christ Jesus. So as we look in the old, we see the severity of the law. We just think of it in very cavalier terms that it's no big deal. But the wages of sin is death. That's huge. That's a significant consequence. And we can be set free from that through faith in Jesus Christ. So I think when we look at these things, we see first and foremost what we've been saved from. If we're believers in Christ, we realize this is what we've been saved from. And boy, you look at that and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for reaching down to me and touching my life in such a way that I responded to you in faith, that I was born again, that I was set free from the law of sin and death to experience your love in ways that I never dreamed possible. And now use me to pass on that same word to others.
Yeah, because propitiation means to turn away God's wrath. That's what he did on the cross. He was actually, you know, turning away God's wrath is, you know, we treasure up wrath against the day of wrath, and he's angry at the wicked every day. And so he did the same thing, except for Jesus received the javelin for us.
That's right, and the debt's been paid in full. Now that the debt's been paid, he offers us new life that's available to us in this new covenant. I love what Paul had to say, that God had made him competent as a minister of the new covenant, not of the old. And here's the reason, because the old kills, but the new gives life. The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And for us today, as believers in Christ, we have been made competent to minister to this new covenant as well. We know that people are dead in sin, that they need life, and we have the opportunity to minister that life into them through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Mark, thanks for your great question today. We sure appreciate it.
In the context of Old Testament, who was the God that entered into the Old Covenant with Israel? This was written from a person named Rob. So since we were talking about that Old Covenant, who was the God that entered into that covenant with Israel?
The same God that we know in the New Covenant.
Absolutely.
In the face of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like God's changed. He hasn't changed at all. We sometimes perceive him a little differently when we read the pages of the Old Testament in comparison to the pages of the New Testament, but that's not true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you read through the pages of the Old Covenant, you see his faithfulness. You see that his love endures forever. He never turns away. He's always there. And we see that in history with the people of Israel. But, you know, the covenant that he made with the people of Israel, it was for their good and for their protection. I mean, you can imagine what was going on in that people group. Here, if we go back and just have a little history lesson. I love this particular history lesson. God met with Abraham. God encountered Abraham, and God said to Abraham, I'm going to take you from where you are, and I'm going to place you into a new land. And Abraham got up and followed the leading of God. And he wound up somewhere near the promised land. And while he was there, God gave him another message. And he said, Abraham, you know, you've had a child through, well, at this time he hadn't had Ishmael yet,
nope.
But hadn't had any children. He said, you're going to have a son. It's a son of promise. And through this son, through this seed, the world is going to be blessed. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And many years passed, and Abraham was getting a little impatient and said, maybe I need to help God. And so he and Sarah came up with a plan, and Ishmael was the result. And God said, no, that's not the son of promise. There's another son coming. And when Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, she gave birth to Isaac. That was the son of promise. And then God gave the same promise to Isaac that he did to Abraham. And then it went to Jacob. And then Jacob had the 12. And we know the story. Famine hit the land of Israel. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up being second command in Egypt. through his influence, he was able to bring his brothers and their families to Egypt to save them from the drought. They were very appreciative, and so they settled down in Egypt, and their families grew, and you know, more and more Israelis were being born on Egyptian soil. And there came a point in time where Pharaoh noticed this growing population and said, wow, we can use them. They can become slave labor. And so the Israelis spent 400 years enslaved to the Egyptians. They were under Egyptian control. And so the Egyptian way of life became their way of life. And now God raises up Moses some 400 years later and says, I am going to set the people free, and I'm going to take them to the promised land, just as I had promised many, many years ago. So the time had come. And so Moses delivers them out of the land, the parting of the Red Sea, an incredible miracle. They cross over, get into the desert, and they stop at Mount Sinai. And God meets with Moses up on the mountain, and he says, I'm going to make this covenant between me and the people. It was a conditional covenant. It was a bilateral covenant. It was between two parties. Mm-hmm. And so God said, these are the things that I will do, and I will do these things if you will do these things. So it was an if-then proposition. The people of Israel agreed to that and said, Lord, all that you have commanded, we will do. But it was for their benefit. It was for their good. It was basically their Bill of Rights, so to speak, their constitution. Yep. And that was to govern the people of Israel. That covenant wasn't given to Gentiles. It wasn't given to individuals. It was given to the people of Israel that was to be carried out by that nation as a nation. So you look at it from that perspective and you say, it is good. And that was just one more step in bringing the Messiah into being. Yes. in Christ Jesus. That was a protective measure on God's part. It was a protection to keep them distinct from other people groups, to protect the bloodline so that Jesus could come and actually be the blessing to the world that God had promised would happen when he spoke to Abraham many years prior. So this old covenant was between God and the people of Israel. It does have a spiritual component to it, and that's where we get in the picture. That old covenant law on a spiritual level condemns every man. If we try to gain acceptance, God's acceptance through law, we're going to be judged guilty. We're going to be judged sinful, and the punishment is death. And we need to know that. Otherwise, we're not going to turn to Christ for a Savior. But once the law has fulfilled its spiritual function in our lives, it steps away so that we can be released into the hands of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And experience his life, his forgiveness, this new identity that he gives us all through faith in him. So it's important for us to understand that purpose, so that we can recognize that it's been fulfilled and that we now live in this new covenant in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's the same God, his plan from start to finish.
That's exactly right. He's always going to deal with us on the basis of his love and grace, and we experience that through faith in him. That was the way it was in the old covenant. That's the way it is in the new.
Yeah.
In the new, we just get to experience his spirit coming to take up residence in us.
Yes.
1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you. We just have a few minutes left on today's broadcast, but go ahead and call right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we've got another email here from Rose, writing from Brooklyn, New York. She says, the dead will rise with Christ and those who are still living. In Revelation, it says that when God judges, he will take those out of hell also to be judged. My question is, when we die, are we resting in our bodies until the Lord takes us, or does our spirit go immediately to heaven or hell?
It's a good question. I think those who are in Christ I think the scripture is very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that when we die, we're basically absent from the body and present with the Lord. The body sleeps, the body goes into the ground, and that word sleep is just a euphemism for death.
Yes.
And the body has died. But we haven't died. We simply go to be with the Lord. I think those who have rejected Christ, there is a holding place for them called Hades. And as we see in the book of Revelation, the last several chapters, there's going to be a point in time where Hades gives up its dead, and those will stand judgment before God.
Yes.
That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Their final destiny will be given to them, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire. And that's where their eternal dwelling place will be.
Yes.
For those of us who are in Christ, we're not going to go to that Great White Throne Judgment. Our sins have already been dealt with. We have already been made alive in Christ. We're going to go stand before the Bema Seat, and works will be judged at that particular point. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful moment for each and every person. Nothing to fear with that. And from there, we're going to be with Christ forever. The final couple of chapters shows this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, finding its place, resting place on earth. We are that new Jerusalem. We are the city of God, basically. God has found his dwelling place in us, and out from us goes blessings into the entire world. So I think it's a marvelous, marvelous picture. But those of us who die before the Lord comes, who are in Christ, we simply go to be with him right then and there.
Yes. One more question very quickly here. Passive-aggressive adults are experts at getting others to act out their hidden anger. It's a quotation from somewhere. What he's talking about is people who are so manipulative because of their passive-aggressive. What scriptures would you suggest when dealing with a person who displays this passive-aggressive, manipulative kind of tendencies, their behaviors, their attitudes?
Well, I think you just recognize that that's what they're doing, and not be sucked into their devices. Now, that's probably easier said than done,
yes,
especially if you've already given in, have been manipulated by a particular person. But I think, you check what's going on inside of you. A lot of times we allow ourselves to be used by others simply because we want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. We want to be loved by somebody. We don't want somebody to not like us. So we make ourselves vulnerable to those type of tactics. And I think that's where we need to come back to this new covenant and recognize this new identity that we have in Christ Jesus. We're children of God. It's God's opinion of us that matters, not somebody else's. And what God thinks about us is truly amazing. I mean, it's downright astounding to think that he thinks about us to begin with, but he thinks of us in such glowing terms. He's made us perfect in his sight, holy and blameless, without spot or blemish. He calls us his children. He's declared us to be righteous. We have an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies that are now ours. We have the opportunity to participate in the divine nature. And when we understand that new identity, then we're strong when it comes to the tactics of others.
Yeah.
We recognize those, and we can say, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah,
and
we don't have to play that game, and we don't have to be played by that game because we are in Christ.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for joining us on today's program. We do have this wonderful offer, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Make a contribution to Basic Gospel. We'll send this to you as our way of saying thanks, a gift of any amount. BasicGospel.net is the place to go online. Visit us there. Just click the icon that says The Hurt and the Healer, and all the information on how to contribute to Basic Gospel will be right there. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. And now for Richard Pfeiffer and the entire Basic Gospel team, my name is Bob Christopher. We'll see you again tomorrow.